Hello there. Welcome to this episode of Forest Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, along with Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations, Elise King, we'll be discussing episode 12 from season 3 of The Bad Batch, titled Juggernaut. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to support Forest Ghost Conversations on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Also, please be sure to check out our T Public store to buy some Forest Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast, and I'm thrilled to get into this episode of The Bad Batch with you all, and especially with Mrs. Forsco's conversations, to bring her insights as well, because, you know, she just brings such a wonderful perspective to the show, and especially with this one, Juggernaut. This is a pretty good episode. I know it's kind of with like, all right, just get to the end already, but there's some good, interesting plot points here in this episode that will help, I think, make the ending a bit clearer of the show as we get on, because I think they're really setting some of the groundwork along the way here. But before we get into that, let's do our rundown of the news this past week in the Star Wars and Lucasfilm galaxy with our appropriately dubbed Cloud City Gossip segment. I also want to apologize as I have come down with a little bit of a cold here. So I'm doing my best not to absolutely cough through this entire segment. So I will apologies if my voice sounds rather nasally and all that, especially during the longer recording here with Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations. We're doing our best as we're making it through day by day here on the podcast. Anywho, so Living Force by John Jackson Miller has now been released. This is a highly anticipated novel coming out, and it takes place in the timeline just before The Phantom Menace, and you get insights into the Jedi Council at that time frame. So if you want more insights into their thinking, how they were operating as a unit just before the prequel trilogy, then this is the book for you. And I can't wait to get my hands on a copy and to learn about that group myself. Also, with the Season of the Force endeavor now taking place at Disneyland, you can catch Sabine there. So you already would have been able to see Ahsoka and The Mandalorian and Boba Fett, and now you can catch Sabine Wren walking around. And I've even seen some videos of her and Ahsoka together, and I just find that to be really cool and great synergy. See, I knew I wouldn't be able to get through this without coughing a little bit. So the new trailer also for Star Wars Outlaws has dropped, a highly anticipated video game coming out here set in the Star Wars galaxy. It looks like just after Empire that's going to be taking place, somewhere between Empire and Return of the Jedi, where you're going to be basically able to create your own story in this RPG as a kind of an RPG. Actually, don't quote me on that. I might be entirely wrong. It seemed like an RPG, and in my head, I'm saying it's an RPG. It seems like you're going to be a part of like this underworld guild kind of thing. And Crimson Dawn's going to be there. Kira's back in it, which is great. Some for fans of Solo. And this trailer is really great. But, you know, my voice isn't the best right now, and to keep me from talking over a 2-minute trailer, potentially coughing through the entire thing, I won't be doing just the typical react that we normally do and this type of thing. Also, I don't know why, but the audio just kind of messed up when doing that last week for the Tales of the Empire trailer. Not sure exactly why. It's like my computer not being able to handle multiple things at once. So that is, it is what it is. So sorry again. Talking is not my forte today, obviously. Anywho, that is all the news I had for this week's episode. We'll be back on the other side of the short break with some discussion about episode 12 from season 3 of The Bad Batch titled Juggernaut. Stay tuned, folks. All right, everybody, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations. Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations and I are here
to talk about the next episode of The Bad Batch.
Titled, yes, we are.
This episode is titled Juggernaut. We've already gone off the rails, off of the plan. Elise, how are you doing? They already know you're here in some way.
Audience, I'm tired, but I'm excited and I'm happy to be here. Let's do it.
And also, audience, I have a slight head cold. Let me be clear. Slight.
He's sick, ladies and gentlemen.
I am fine. I am all right. I am doing well. Some may even say thriving.
All right.
But as a result, you may just hear a slight cough, a sniffle, perhaps a sneeze. You never know. We're live. We're here. We're having fun. We're talking Bad Batch episode
12.
12, Juggernaut. I was like, I did a whole 2 hours on this last night. It's episode 12. It's one of them. 11, 12, it's one of them. Juggernaut. Elise, when you hear the word juggernaut, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? And then after watching the episode, what do you think that means? Because this, I don't know if this episode is like the most clear about what that episode title means, like some of the other ones here.
I'm like forgetting the definition of juggernaut, and could you look it up to make sure I'm right?
I mean, I can, yes. Juggernaut.
Anyways, I
the
saw
Oxford
this
dictionaries right here. Yeah.
Okay. I'll say it in a second. But to me, this was like standing on a precipice. How are they moving forward? What's their plan? They could go a lot of different paths. I think some things are chosen for them and it helps them in the long run, but it was like, what's going to happen? And I see here, the definition is a huge or powerful and overwhelming force or institution. I think that could be taken a lot of ways from this episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any?
What do you think?
I mean, my theory immediately was the Imperial Juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're like, overwhelming.
Like, we saw both the extent of the science. So Tantus, we got a bit of Tantus, and Omega got to see a bit more behind the scenes of that whole Juggernaut system there. We learned that Tantus... Of course, sorry, everybody, spoiler alert for the entire thing. And we're beyond that point now, though. Rampart, when he explains that Tantus is kind of hidden, it's off the beaten path. It's hard to find. It's not just a straight coordinate. And like, oh, that's the Imperial machine making it difficult again to find the hiddenmost things in their repertoire. And then, of course, just seeing the juggernaut of, wow, they've prison camps just for mining. Is like you see a bit of everything of the Imperial War Machine, plus Pabu being under the watchful eye of the Star Destroyer, and just no one comes in or comes out unless they have Fee's kind of cloaking ship. Just all that was kind of where my brain was going with that. But also, you could like I think the tank that they ride is technically like codenamed Juggernaut, so it could be that too.
That's also very apt.
You know, it would be apt, but I'm like, is that two on the nose? They want us to think about it.
It's all of the above.
It's all the above.
I would think you're right. I would also say Hunter is a juggernaut.
Oh, the whole team.
Unleashed.
I mean, we got to see them with Crosshair working as a tandem team again for the first time in really a while.
Without Tech.
Well, without Tech, of course, too. So it's not the full Bad Batch, but Crosshair in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
With a concerted plan.
They're super powerful. Crosshair is very tactical, very strategic-minded, just like Hunter is. Kind of fills that role for Tech with, like, less info and more just intuition and, like, good battle strategy. So, yeah. Unhinged again, and I love it.
Unhinged again. So, this episode, I think in my... I don't know where your thoughts were on this one, but I want to ask you about your thoughts on this. But so, in my opinion, I would have assumed that last week's episode, the cliffhanger that was left on with Crosshair missing, I thought that it would have been like seconds after that, like where this episode started, where he has to explain to Hunter and Wrecker and just the drama of that conversation of being like, yeah, she got away. I tried to, you know, and it just
we talked about it, about how that conversation was going to be tense. Yeah, like, exactly. We talked about that the last episode.
So I was hoping for that, and then it didn't happen. So this is like, again, when we got that, we didn't get that conversation where Crosshair was looking at them and just staring blankly at each other. And then in the next episode starts and they're on the ship already kind of conversing hours beyond that initial consultation. So like, What did you think on that one? Did that subvert your expectation a bit there, or are you glad the way that it kind of played out?
You know, to be honest, I like forgot I wanted that.
There was a lot of life and Bad Batch in between.
Yeah, I enjoyed the episode, so obviously it didn't like ruin my experience. But you're right, like I wish we had, like, I would just love to see the daily and like hourly interactions of the Bad Batch working together. It's probably real boring sometimes, but I also think they probably have really intense conversations. Maybe they didn't put it online because they didn't have it. Like maybe mm-hmm. Hunter and was just like, we have to figure out next steps. We have to find her. Like it was just very much like put anger, frustration, fear aside.
Yeah.
We must keep going.
Yeah.
Which like they're very good at in general. The other thing I was like, maybe they're just trying to tell so much story because they did split the time between the Bad Batch and then Omega and Tantus. That argument doesn't really resonate with me on that front, though, because they've had like the episodes be different mm-hmm, lengths. Mm-hmm. Like there's not been like, oh, it has to be this 40-minute show, you know, with 20 minutes of commercials. There's not that.
They don't have to fill a certain gap.
No. So I guess just the creators didn't think it was that important and they just like moved on and got on with it.
Honestly, yeah. They were like, it would have, maybe it'd be like an out of, the episode was clearly about getting from point A to point B to explain how they have a chance at finding Tantus. And if they added that 5-minute conversation at the beginning, it might have felt jarring or out of place.
You're just like really, like something else would have felt rushed.
Yeah.
I think we would have lost some of the exposition that they gave on Tantus, which you were really happy to hear. So there's, you know, there's costs and benefits to storytelling and there's always choices that have to be made, but I would have loved it. I did forget about it.
I would just love to be a part of the room where they like have these conversations because obviously they talked about it. There's no way they didn't say,
where do we
like,
start
what
it?
Could we do with this? Do we talk about this? Do we have that conversation? And then someone obviously convinced enough people to say like, we don't do that. So I would just love to be a part of that creative writer's room conversation.
Wouldn't we all
love to be a fly on the wall at Lucasfilm and just hear what they've got. But I don't know if I do, because do I want to know what's coming down the pipeline?
Do you want to know how the sauce is made?
I do, actually. So I love behind the scenes stuff. So maybe I do.
I think you do.
It's that push-pull of, do I want to be surprised to see it the first time? Or when do I want to be surprised?
You want an entire documentary of how the series was made within
That's true.
Glances in the room.
Yeah. I want to be surprised, and I want a documentary to come out where they exactly show.
Detail
they
behind
have a camera
the scenes.
Right in the corner, and then they're like, this is why we don't do that. And I'm like, oh, brilliant. Mastery at work, everybody.
Oh, if only you had a genie.
Well, this episode was, I'm going to say it subverted my expectations in ways that I wasn't really expecting. And by saying that, I mean Rampart returned.
With a beard.
He's got some longer, shaggy hair. He's definitely unkempt. He's probably been here since that season two episode, where he was ousted from his position. So what did you think about his return, and did you anticipate that he might return this season?
I did not anticipate. I mean, I anticipated we'd see a lot of old characters. I didn't think it'd be an old enemy.
Mm-hmm.
How very Star Wars, though.
Yeah.
Didn't lose one iota of sass.
No, he stayed true to himself, even
in the face of
prison.
Adversity.
Yeah.
Slave labor.
He's still very much an Imperial. Even though they turn their backs on him.
He's like the perfect example of, I'm not just a cog in a machine. I embody, live, breathe, exist in an Imperial mode.
Yeah. And he believes in what they're doing, even after he was a cog in the machine for someone else's betterment. And
not his.
Like, it's so wild that like he's the anti-callous. Right. Mm-hmm. Where
I was thinking about Callus yesterday.
He's like, I'm going to double down on being an Imperial. This was right. I should be in prison. He's not saying that, but he's still like, I don't know if it's a power motive thing or a station thing, but in his mind, I assume he's like, I'll get out of here eventually and I can make my way up again. And through the Empire is the
way
to be.
Who's know what delusion he's living under? I mean, but I mean, it was funny. It was funny seeing them. I liked seeing him in Crosshair, like, again, and just how much, there's just so much animosity. I think Crosshair's really funny when he's showing disgust. Like, he's amusing to me.
Yeah, Dee Bradley Baker does a good job, and the animators too do a good job of combining that, the voice plus the facial expressions, to make it work well.
Yeah. So what did you think?
Crosshair was almost gonna get a little unhinged if like we were gonna see a darker Crosshair. I thought we might at some point too.
We've
like,
seen a darker Crosshair when he pointed those guns at the Bad Batch in
with the Bad Batch, right? Like now that he's post this kind of reformation a little bit for him.
Give me unhinged. I'm fine with it.
And now that Omega is taken and all
his redemption is gone. Yeah.
But to the Rampart, I will admit, I think it was Monday or Tuesday this week, when I was in the shower, I just had like, you know, as you have shower thoughts, I was just like, whatever happened, is it Rampart? Man, they really tossed him aside. He was such a big villain, and then nothing. It's like, I didn't think he'd come back at all, and I wasn't really speculating too much on if he'd be in a future story. I was like, wow, that's really, you know, almost uncharacteristic of Star Wars just to throw away someone like that, to make him a big villain for a season and a half. And then, lo and behold, I don't know if I manifested it just by thinking about it. But
I mean, yes and no, you're right. But at the same time, like, do they bring villains back all the time? Yes. But also, like, they have proven that the Empire does not care about its, like, about loyalty.
Yeah.
You miss, like, I mean, we've seen Vader choke people out for nothing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I thought that it was really interesting. I thought it was funny. It was like, I got a couple good chuckles.
Mm-hmm.
He looks better with a beard.
Yeah, and he's also the worst prison mate.
Oh my gosh.
He won't even bother to learn the language of the guy that he's stuck with.
I think he would have been taken out a while ago just from pure annoyance. He seemed to have been surrounded with better people than him. Let's be honest.
The nature of being an Imperial is you surround yourself with good people and then you use their achievements to bolster your own portfolio.
Yeah.
What do you think his end goal really is out of all this? I think that's something that I'm considering is like, in my mind, there's like a couple options that he has available to him now that he's out of this prison.
I don't think he has an end goal. I think he's flying by the seat of his pants and he's an opportunist and will take advantage of whatever.
He has to have something that he's kind of hoping for in the opportunity, right? He's not going to just take any opportunity that comes to him now that he's off world.
I mean, if he doesn't need to be seen as important within the Empire anymore, then he just wants freedom to get out, whatever. I think if he, like, still really identifies with being a good officer or whatever, I could see him being like, I need to bring them something valuable so they let me back in the fold.
Right, yeah.
That being said, like, that's a really big risk because the Empire could be like, you broke out of prison and you betrayed us. Like, I will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you could go the Callus route, like, after working with Bad Batch?
No, I don't think this guy becomes,
well, if he doesn't like, works with Bad Batch, not rebel, but, like, okay, not as, like, dramatic as Callus, but I think, like, if he works with the Bad Batch, his chance of coming back and redeeming him, like, he's too far gone in, like, rebellion mode, even if he doesn't stay with them.
Well, I think it's all just depending on,
I think he could become a bounty hunter. I think he'd become, a rogue.
I mean, that's certainly possible.
Agent in the system.
I actually, you know, in just how I've been thinking about it, I think you hit on one of them there. I think I saw two possible scenarios that I kind of was playing through. One being that he uses this opportunity to undermine Hemlock, like to take out Hemlock and then to get his position back.
They do kind of have that like same, like they would definitely compete.
Like
I think Hemlock's above him.
It's
though.
Like, I want my job back. This is how I can do it. If I take them out, like, you know, whatever, they take him out, I take them out. I'm seen as a hero. I've saved Project Necromancer. Or no one needs to know the finer details. I can fudge a report.
Or like mutual mass destruction.
Right. And then the other one is, does he go along with this thing? And this is what you kind of surmised at. To then take them to Tantus, but then betray them there, offer them up on a platter.
Yeah.
And then he's like, great, I brought you guys these like thorns in our sides that the last time he
overpowers Bad Batch.
I mean, I don't know how, but I mean, it's certainly possible in some way, I guess, with all the resources of the Empire. But like, is he really going to do that just to like, you know, what does he really want? Does he just want to swap the Isabella to, you know, just be a maintenance worker on a Star Destroyer? Like, does he just want to be out of prison and working for the Empire?
No,
like,
he doesn't. Has too much ego.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that more than likely it's probably the Hemlock taking out, because that is the nature of the dark side and the Empire, is to just constantly be taking out the people above you to play this Game of Thrones to get up higher. And he sees probably an opportunity in this.
I don't know if he sees it yet. I think he's like, I'm along for the ride and I'll find an opportunity and take advantage of it.
See, I think opposite, actually, where he's like, I actually have a lot to bargain with. I think he's...
I mean, I think he's good on his feet.
Yeah.
But I don't... Yeah, I think he's like, if I see an... I want to be close to the action, because if I see an opportunity, I can take it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I have this grand plan. But he definitely like adds a different flavor to this invasion. If he gets the one up on Bad Batch, that's on them though, because hopefully they're coming in with like a big force. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
if they let this one man take them, then like, oh, okay.
What do you think about like the Tantus not being like, it's hard to find? Is it the Empire just being very good at covering their tracks? Is it a Kamino situation again? Did they delete a planet from the records?
I think it's 100% in the same vein of the Emperor doesn't want anyone to ever know his ultimate endgame.
Mm-hmm.
He always has shadows, like things hidden in the shadows. He doesn't trust anyone. He wants to keep power for himself. It seems like so in line with like the whole clone production thing. This mm-hmm. is the next version of that.
Mm-hmm. And it is a clone production, so yeah, it is the next version.
On every level.
On multiple levels, Tantus is a more safe and secure Kamino.
Yeah.
And going to Tantus now, because this episode is like mostly...
Wait, we have to mention the one thing.
What's the one thing?
The best part.
Well, which is?
The tank part.
The tank
part. Busting through barriers.
Yeah, that was some good action, wasn't that?
It was so
Take out
good.
The wheels!
like just like shooting rockets out of the sky.
Yeah.
Jumping off and grabbing onto the plane. Oh, such good action. I was like, are we watching a Mission Impossible right now?
Yeah, I actually went to Raiders in my head. That looked very reminiscent of
it. Did look reminiscent. I thought of Raiders
the
too.
Truck sequence. Yeah, and a little bit of Last Crusade too, I'd say, but mostly Raiders. And definitely some indie inspiration with the scenery.
I felt like some of it was Tom Cruise.
A little bit Mission Impossible.
And then
too,
some of it was Yeah, some of it was Indiana Jones, like Harrison Ford. I was like, I see the stunts of both, like weaving together. I thought it was real fun.
Yeah, when they were like, take out the wheels, you gotta do it. I was like, yeah, you take out the wheels.
Yeah, I was like, this is amazing.
I was like, they're going headlong. Who's going to play chicken first?
I know, I love that they were playing chicken. I thought it was so fun.
It was good to have some fun Bad Batch again after last week's episodes.
Yeah, and it's like tense and there's high stakes, but I was like, yeah, I needed them to like bust through walls and get one on an entire Imperial prison system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got the one-ups on them.
Yeah.
A team of three plus V piloting the ship.
I mean, they said all the time, like the Bad Batch could do what like dozens of... Mm-hmm. Like whole forces of troopers, like they could take on planets on themselves.
Yeah.
So I think it was just nice to see.
It was. It was good to see him in action again. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was like old times, but.
And then we went to.
Tantus. Tantus. I will say, what did you think about like? I would consider Omega's just general demeanor in this episode to just be very down and sad, and which. I wouldn't have expected that because she seems so confident of herself. Like, she doesn't know that Crosshair missed. So, like, in my mind, if I was her, I would be kind of snarkily confident knowing, like, my friends are going to come get me soon. But she just seemed really down and out in this episode. Did you kind of pick up on that, too?
Yeah, I think she's scared.
Do you think she's actually, like, she talked a big talk and then got there and she's like, oh.
I mean, don't we all do that? Like, we both, like, build ourselves up to do something, you do it, and then you have to live in that moment and you're just like, I think she's scared, I think she's trying to learn information, I think she's trying to listen, learn, observe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and also it's just like such a depressing place, and everything she learned that whole day just got worse and worse and worse. And I think she's also pretty realistic, and she does not know that Crosshair missed. Yeah. I mean, but she does not know. I think she's realistic in the fact that she knows it was 50-50 if Crosshair was going to make it. She knew what his shooting ability was. So even with like him just fighting and missing, she knew it was a gamble. So I think she also knows that it's going to take more than just the Bad Batch coming and saving her. It's going to take like a show of force. She's there for a minute. Mm-hmm. So I it was understandable to me.
Do you think she's safe at all?
No. I mean, I think she's safe in like, they need her alive for a bit.
Mm. Until she's served her purpose.
But you remember, like, they were going to drain Grogu.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's safe. Not at all.
Yeah, they don't think they're just going to just, like, strap her into a thing and just keep...
It seems like really complex science, though, when he was like, you're part of the puzzle piece. The kids are part of the puzzle.
Yeah, they're part of it, too.
So I was like, half of me, like, the one who loves exposition is like... Please just explain it to us. Like, yes. I want to know. Just
give me a concrete definition.
Like, what is happening? You've mentioned that, like, her blood is a good carrier for midichlorians, mm-hmm. but I really thought he was going to show the, like, messed up versions.
Yeah, did you think that he was like, I'm going to show you something else now? Because we saw this last week, right? It's just the kids. And, like, now you're really going to see the experiments we've got going.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're not going to do the big reveal twice. But I also was, I thought, I was like, he's going to try and freak her out and, like, make her scared. Mm. But no, he's, like, too, I don't want to say logical. He's just, like, too much, like, I have you. I don't need to do anything else.
It's hubris, and it's also nearsighted so much, in my opinion. Like,
it's definitely hubris. What do you mean nearsighted?
First off, like, this guy is never there for the act to observe the science itself. Like, when he's like, he drops her off and he's like, all right, Emery's going to take your blood now. Do it, Emery. Please, please take care of this and I will come back later. What could you possibly have to do that you can't be there yourself to at least observe that this is being done? After you, you know the Empire is a place of treachery, deception, and that your head is on the line, boss, if this doesn't go well. I know I'm injecting myself into the...
Yes. But he is...
So it's the hubris and nearsightedness.
Which is how we need him to be hubris.
Oh, absolutely. This is his downfall. Absolutely. It's like, how could you be so...
He's a king in a small castle. Like, he feels so puffed up because the Emperor, like, cares so much about his work.
He's got a free budget.
Yeah.
Blank check. Tarkin doesn't even know what he's doing.
What did you think it was interesting how they focused on Tantis? Like, obviously, like, her coming, like, having the moments with Emery where you can see the conflict. That made sense. But, like, nothing really happened too much.
Not a whole lot, except that I will say the big thing, and this might be another theory here for the Juggernaut. Why, and again, hubris, nearsightedness, putting Omega with these Force-sensitive kids might be the nuclear bomb that sets off Tantis.
Yeah, the strategy mind.
You've got the project manager that can wrangle everybody together.
With actual, like,
talent. Yes, exactly.
And, like, manipulation.
We saw how hard it was, but they did that for a reason, to show us how difficult it is to get out there. But we got Omega's mind. Like, that's her biggest superpower.
Oh, that's so cool. She's going to lead this crusade of
kids
out.
She didn't even need them, the Bad Batch. And this is Omega's final journey arc. This is her last
trial. I can see them meeting halfway through. Like, they're coming in, she's coming out. They meet in the middle, and then they bust out together.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, Omega, you didn't even need us. Exactly.
If that fuzzy child doesn't get back with its parent, I could riot.
You know what's the funny thing about that? Because I'm like, where have I seen this thing before? I've seen this creature before, and I knew I loved him. And it's at the Sabacc scene in Solo. He's one of the species. Is the one that, like, pats Han on the back when he thinks he's won. I'm like, yes, that's it. This is my Thermsis
really?
Punch. This is my, like, raptor dinosaur from Kenobi. This is in my movie. This is my guy in Solo. All these years later, we finally get another appearance of the
creature. You'll just show me a live action version of it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really, good call. Good call back.
Good call back. I'm glad that people on Twitter pointed it out. Oh,
thank you, Internet.
Thank you, Internet.
It would have eaten at my husband's brain. for months.
I'm glad that other people appreciate this character or the species of creature in the way that I did at the time and still continue to do. Yeah, I think it's such hubris thinking like this is your prison cell. You're going to be stuck here and they're just going to be living misery. But like, what was wrong with putting her back in her original cell to begin with and keep them separated? Why would you not want to keep?
Also, hubris to think that a verge like. It just shows that he doesn't understand people.
Yes, absolutely.
Because to have a younger version of your right-hand woman look at her, see her mistreated, it's too easy to empathize.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally seeing yourself.
And she's already compromised. Like,
yeah.
She's already doing nice things for
so
them.
He thinks he has her in a firm grasp, but I was just like, here we see hubris coming again. Thank goodness.
Yeah, this is their downfall right here, if you ask me.
Good thing you don't want to go to the dark side. You wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Can I tell them the Snow White story?
Yes, you may.
So, you know, everyone's like, or Anthony's always like, I'm going to be a Jedi and I'm going to like, I would say
I would hope in the moment I can act like a Jedi.
Yeah. Like they inspire me to be good and to make the right choice and to stand up for others. We're in Disneyland walking down the street. And the evil queen from Snow White walks by.
Yep, they had a parade or something like that.
What did she say to you?
Well, I had my t-shirt on that was your lack of heavy metal.
Disturbs me. Yeah.
And she saw that. And of course, Vader's on it with a electric guitar and he's doing the devil horns. And she was like, you must be with the dark side, aren't you?
Oh my gosh. And without hesitation, you go, yes, my queen.
Yes, absolutely. My queen. Yeah. But it was just
like, no hesitation. And I just walked by staring at him with an open jaw, just being like,
who are you? How dare you?
You gave up your morals, your high horse within less than a second.
I'm a survivor. I'm just like Han. I'm a survivor.
Yeah, you're like Han.
I will do what needs to be done.
I was like, you are a Slytherin. That is for sure. So I thought that was funny.
That is a good one. That is a good story. I'm glad. Good times. Good times. Pre-celebration.
I, on the other hand, said nothing.
You just kept walking by. But she also didn't address you, so you didn't have to think on the spot.
No, I would have given her a half smile.
You would have half smile? She would have taken that as agreement.
That's what a spy does.
That's what a spy
makes
does.
Everyone believe what they want you to believe.
Well, maybe I made her want to believe.
So no, you didn't. You said it with fervor.
I could sneak into the castle and
it
destroy
was
it from
a
the
panic
out,
agreement.
Just like Omega's gonna do in the next three episodes.
No, I saw you were ready to don that hunter's costume and go hunt Snow White in the forest. I could tell.
Or I could save Snow White.
You wouldn't.
And the seven dwarves. And then we'll ride the mine train together and have a jolly old time.
Whatever you need to tell yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Elise, we are now
three episodes away.
You've got at most an hour and a half left. Of
shut
series.
Your face. Just let me enjoy it.
How do you feel about that?
I'm in the... Shut. Your face. I am in the moment. I'm enjoying the episode by episode. I'm enjoying the story for what it is. I'm grateful for these three more episodes. I'm in the moment. I am living the Jedi way.
You should have said that with a bit more oomph. Like, I am grateful. Folks, that's how we say a lot of things in this house here. With conviction.
Help me.
When we go to...
Help me, audience.
When we go to Universal and we ride the E.T. ride, we go, we must help E.T.
You are, yeah. So, I have no words. No, I'm just enjoying the ride. I'm not looking towards the end.
I'm glad that you're taking this in stride here, and you don't know what the future holds, too. One door closes, another one may open. So, who's to say we don't get Tales of the Bad Batch next, where they actually showcase these little conversations that we wanted to see throughout
the... I did think there could be, like, Tales of the Clones. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Something.
Feature a couple mini stories of the clones and pre and post. All that stuff would be awesome.
We'll see. I'm ready for next week.
Ready for
this
next
was a
week.
More fun episode than I was expecting, so that was nice.
Definitely needed after the Some would say crushing blow of last week's episode.
Yeah.
But thanks again, folks, for listening to this fun deep dive into episode 12 from season 3 of The Bad Batch. Of course, if you want to follow us on social media, continue the conversation, just search for us on Instagram, Twitter, X, Hive, YouTube, TikTok. Just search for Force Ghost Conversations. We'll be there in some capacity. And we'll be back next week, next Sunday, with the episode 13, getting to this final stretch here of The Bad Batch. So I hope you will stay tuned and join us as we continue to discuss in great length the themes and fun and hopefully joy of The Bad Batch. So until then, may the Force be with you. Take care.